The night before, we load up the car to take our child off to summer camp for the very first time she has been that far from home. There are a laundry list of concerns that we might have. Will she like her counselor? Will she make good friends? Will she stay healthy? Will she eat enough? Will she sleep enough? Will she take a shower that week? But there is one concern that can derail the entire experience. Will she feel homesick? That feeling homesick is perhaps something many of us have experienced, that dull ache of feeling displaced or apart from at least some of who we are. It's like that feeling right after surgery, where at first everything feels great. We're calm and comfortable, but then the anesthesia starts to wear off and our nerve endings wake up and we are overcome by this dull pain. That feeling homesick has a way of sneaking up on us. And the prophet Isaiah is speaking to the people of God as they are exiled in Babylon. They are displaced from what they know. They feel disconnected from who they are. They are mourning and grieving. They are separated from family and loved ones. They are disconnected from work and livelihood and security. And they are asking, what do we do next? They're staying up late, sitting around the campfire with one another, having hard conversations and asking difficult questions. That why, if our ancestors were brought out of exile in Egypt and led through the wilderness to the place we have called home, why are we displaced yet again? So the prophet Isaiah speaks of a new exodus, to be brought home from Babylon, that a servant will rise up and lead the people. But this servant will be different. He will not shout or fight. He will not even break a bruised reed. He will lead in different ways, but he will never grow faint or weary. That God, Isaiah says, is about to do a new thing. And this is one of those suffering servant passages throughout the book of Isaiah, the handful of passages that the church has looked to in order to better understand the life of Jesus, because he was a servant. He led in different ways, that he came to heal people's brokenness, to right all of the wrongs around us, and to forgive the world's mistakes, that Jesus comes to bring us out of exile to God. And as the people sat around those campfires and asked those hard questions, they envisioned this new exodus that would not take them across the Red Sea this time, but bring them home from Babylon, crossing the River Jordan. And this is not lost on the Gospel of Matthew, who takes us all the way out there into the wilderness, standing on the banks of the River Jordan, where John the Baptist is standing waist deep in those waters and plunging people into a commitment to God. In the same way that the people were brought home from Babylon, crossing the River Jordan, baptism calls us out of exile to God. And then when Jesus was plunged into those waters, there was that voice heard in the background that said, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And in baptism, God says to each of us, you are my daughter. You are my son, my child, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And then, like Jesus, we are sent forth from those waters to serve others, to lean into the love of neighbor. When I was growing up and made that decision for baptism, the first thing I did was meet with the pastor. The second thing, in the church where I grew up, I had to attend a class on several Sunday afternoons where I sat at this little table and those chairs for smaller individuals, and I filled out this workbook. There were pictures of the baptism of Jesus. There was scripture I had to read, information I had to memorize, and answers where I had to fill in the blanks. And first, I learned that baptism is an act of repentance. As the book of Acts says, to have our sins washed away, that we are forgiven by the grace of God. Second, I learned that baptism is also an initiation, that it is as far from a graduation as we can get, that it is a beginning. It sends us out on the journey of faith where we make a commitment to follow Jesus. But there was one other aspect of baptism left out of the pages of the workbook that we find all throughout the pages of the gospel, in particular in the baptism of Jesus, that baptism is also our identity. You are my daughter. You are my son. My child, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. St. Augustine once said, O Lord, our hearts are restless until they find its rest in you. But this rest is different from taking the afternoon off, kicking our feet up on the end of the couch, putting cucumbers on our eyes, and listening to the rain hit a tin roof. That we find our center in serving others, in leaning into the love of neighbor in all the different ways that that can emerge in our lives. Because our lives are identified with Christ. That whenever we feel displaced, disconnected from ourselves, like we are wandering through a wilderness, unsure of which direction to take, when we cannot remember the sound of that voice that says, you are my beloved, that we find our center again in service to others, in the love of neighbor, either those closest to us or those that we meet along the way, that we connect to the love of God through the love of one another. It's like hearing a song again for the very first time. We may have heard it 1,000 times over, but then we hear it differently in a way that it strikes us to our core again, like it did the first time. That instead of hearing it played up there on the concert stage under the bright lights where speakers are amplifying it out all throughout the arena, and the room is full of smoke and showmanship, that instead we hear that song like it was first written, where someone just sat down with a single guitar and picked out the notes and the chords. Where we hear the melody distinctly, and the meaning of the words is not lost on us. That Jesus wrote the song of the gospel by serving others and leaning in to the love of neighbor. And as we serve, as we love one another, we find our center again, because we have been included in God's outward love. Wendell Berry writes this beautiful poem about a river. He stands in front of the river and imagines how it has shaped the landscape over time. That as the river has bend and curved, twisted and turned, the current of the water has cut into the landscape, changed it and molded it and formed it over time. He writes, "The land is the water's memory." And that is the beauty of baptism. That as the current of those waters, as the grace of God bends and turns throughout our lives, as we serve others, as we love each other as our neighbor, as we see Christ in him or her, those waters move and change and bend and mold and form our lives over time, so that our lives are the memory of baptism. Because we have been included in God's outward love. That as we serve and love one another, we find our center again, knowing that we are children of God, and recognizing that everybody else is as well. Amen.